You know, if we didn't have God and we didn't have His intervention and His protection and those things and His the peace that passes all understanding, we might go nuts in times like this. You know, I have to be careful and not watch too much news, because if you watch one set of news channels, you get one side of the story. If you watch another set of news channels, you get a different side of the story. And it really is apparent. In fact, they were even talking about this on I think it was Fox News, how divided we are in this country, how divided we are, and you know how horrible that is that we're divided. But you know, we do recognize that division is one of Satan's tools, divide and conquer, and he would have all of us upset, worried, fretting, and anxious about all of the stuff that we read about and that we see going on. You know, obviously the pandemic, COVID, and the reaction to that and the stipulations and all of the mandates and things that have come down has changed our world. I mean, this world has changed in the last, 2 years, 18 months, let's say, 18 months. Things have drastically changed. In fact, I was really surprised at how fast the whole world changed within, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks when all this began. And, you know, there were those things that came down. And so it's a very interesting time that we live in. I think it's a very interesting time for Christians. It's a very interesting time for us. It's very important for us how we conduct ourselves now, right now, during this time, because of all that's taking place and all that we see and all that we read. And before we get too much further with that, did y'all get the email? One day God was looking down at the earth and he was noticing all of the behavior that was going on, and he decided that he would send an angel down here to check it out, check things out, report back to him. And so when the angel returned, he said to God, "Yep, it's bad on earth, right? It's bad on earth. 95% are misbehaving and only 5% are not." And so God thought for a moment. He says, 5%? Maybe I need to send another angel down there, you know, for confirmation. So he sent another angel down, and that angel came back and says, "Yeah," he says, "really, it's really true. The earth is in ravaging decline. 95% are misbehaving and only 5% are being good. So he wasn't pleased. God wasn't pleased, and he decided to send an email to the 5% that were good because he wanted to encourage them and give them a little something to help keep them going. Did you get the email? Just wondering. I didn't either. Oh, we have to laugh a little bit through things like this and times that we're in, the situations that we're in. In difficult times like this that we are facing, you know, Christians, I think about biblical prophecy. But this is not going to be a sermon on biblical prophecy. This is going to be about our dependence upon God, how much we need him and how much we trust him. But I was thinking, you know, about some prophecies prophecies that came to mind that might be taking place now. Have you thought about that? Some of the things that might be happening. You know, we're told to watch, you know, watch and pray always. And of course, watching, we watch ourselves, you know, we watch our behavior, make sure that we are in favor and in God's favor and that we're doing things that we should. And then we're always told we watch world events. Well, actually, I think what we watch is the Bible. We watch the scriptures, and we read the scriptures, and we read those prophecies. And, you know, Ron Dart used to say, and, you know, the way we'll find out how things happen, well, oh, that's how that happened. We find out afterwards how things take place. So we've been prognosticators, you know, about how things are going to turn out, and guess what? We shouldn't take that approach. But I'm thinking about prophecies that are taking place, and, even some of the scriptures, it says, perilous times are coming, you know. We've heard that scripture, right? Perilous times are coming. I think we're there. I would say we're in perilous times when you read all of the circumstances and things there. You know, the disciples, they wanted to know the same thing. You know, they wanted to know, you know, what's going on? Matthew 24, let's go over here to Matthew 24 and just, you know, read their questions to Christ and the things that they wanted to know. And verse 3 of Matthew 24, this is the disciples. They wanted to know. We want to know. I want to know. I want to know when Christ is coming. I want to know those things. We've kind of developed a little saying around the house that when it comes to pandemic and COVID, I just want to give God reason to keep me alive, you know. We need as Christians to give good reason for God to keep us alive. But we want to know what's happening and what's coming. In verse 3 here of Matthew 24, his disciples, he said upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" And of course they were referring to, you know, he said, talking about the temple being destroyed, you know, in verses 1 and 2, and, you know, not one stone left upon another. And what shall be the sign, when shall these things be, and temple being destroyed, what shall be the sign of your coming? In other words, what are going to be the things that, you know, will there be a sign? Everybody wants a sign of your coming and of the end of the world. Well, hey, we want to know those things too. I mean, we would like to know those things. And Jesus answered, and here were his answers. Here's three or four verses here that I think are poignant for us today as we consider, you know, what God is doing and our trust that we have in him. And Jesus answered, verse 4, and said to him, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing out. We have to make sure that we don't get deceived. "And for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Interesting, you know, that Christians would deceive one another, that there would be deception. We've heard those that have said, "Well, I'm the only." I was talking to Dave Haver, and I asked him, "Well, Dave, how many of the two witnesses have you met?" And he says, "Well, it's up to 16 now." So, you know, you got people that have this mindset that they know, you know, and that they have insight and understanding. And it says, we're to be careful. We have to be careful. You have to be careful of me. You have to be careful of any preacher that preaches to you. And everything that we say, you need to be able to run that through Scripture. And if not, then, you know, you need to talk to me. Tell me about it. Because it's very serious what we say and do. But take heed that no man deceive you. And in there, verse 6 says, verse 5 again, "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." You know, I wondered, shall say, "I am Christ." Well, saying they have Christ, saying that they have a message from God, saying that they have, I have the pure word. This is what's happening. Be careful of that. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, boy, a lot of that going on, right? What a fiasco in Afghanistan. Wars and rumors of wars. The aftermath of wars. Have we solved anything in 20 years in Afghanistan? Wars and rumors of wars. Have any of the world wars that we have fought really solved anything? He says, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not." The end is not. So guess what? We're enduring a lot, aren't we? We're seeing a lot. We're seeing a lot of things. We're experiencing a lot of difficulty. And then it continues, "For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences." Notice that's plural. "And earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." I say that's where we are. We're in this time frame. We're in a time when there are wars and rumors of wars. I think back how things are so different from when I was a child now, even in weather circumstances. how is it? And I was in the woods this week. And if I'm scratching my chigger bites, that's why. I was in the woods, and it's August, and everything is green like it's April. And how unusual that is. And then I talked to my friends in California, and they're burning up. Talked to my friends in Oregon, and you know, they're so dry that, you know, there's such a threat of fires. The Colorado River is so low, and water is such a scarcity out there that it may affect our crops, you know, what they can harvest because they don't have enough water. So this is the time we live in, right? This is the world we live in. Everything is, nothing is permanent. Everything's changing, and it's called a time of sorrow. It's called a time of sorrow. Well, I read something over here in Ezekiel because we have to know how to face and deal with these things in a Christian way, in a godly way, and in a way that's pleasing to God. In Ezekiel, I hope it bothers us, all the things that are taking place, from everything from the destruction of the Constitution that's taking place. I hope that bothers us, to all of the evil and the evil being permeated everywhere and the difficulties. I hope we're really sad about that. Ezekiel 9, this is of course talking to Ezekiel in a particular time, the slaughter of the idolaters, you know, in the time that they were that was going on there when there was such difficulty, and you know, Ezekiel and a couple of the other prophets were concurrent during a very look, this is not new, by the way. Ezekiel and the other prophets were in a very difficult time for the nation of Israel when there was a lot of difficulty. They were going through similar difficulties, situations. This is nothing new. You know, it's new to us because a lot of things we haven't experienced. But we call it the time of the Gentiles. You know, we're under that influence, and that just means that the those who are not Jews and actually, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. That's what we're talking about, is in charge. And so it's time. It's a tough time. But in Ezekiel here, verse 4 of chapter 9, the Lord said unto Ezekiel, go through the midst of the city, in the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Oh, I hope we are doing that. I hope it bothers us, all that's going on, and that we go to God with it, because that's quite critical and quite important that we do that. Verse 5, and the others he said, and to the others he said in my hearing, go you after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. That's interesting reading to me, because it appears to me that those who were concerned and sighed and cried, there was a blessing for them, you know, set a mark upon them. I wonder if that is something that we take into consideration and that we seek that, and that God would do that for us. I believe so. You know, I believe that God would be that caring for us, and that he would protect us during a very difficult time. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a rough time. We're told, and yet, you know, if we're not careful, we might not sigh and cry for all the difficulties. And the other thing is, we might become anxious and let all of the hyperbole and all of the noise get us and bother us, and we shouldn't do that. This is, you know, quite an interesting time. We want to talk in a little bit about even the way there was preparation in the hearts and minds of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, living in you know, Babylon under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, they were in captivity too. And honestly, you know, we call us the, you know, land of the free and the home of the brave, but are we really free? Maybe we're in captivity. I don't know, you know. I think so. So just a thought. But we're told over here in Philippians, I love this verse, And I hope that we will respond in this way. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing," which means don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. And it's okay, you know. God's in charge. We have to remember that. God's always in charge. Don't be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything, notice this, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think that's so critical for us. Let our requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Does God know? Well, I guess the first question would be, knowing that He's in charge, that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing, knowing that He's in charge. But yet we still have to, as His children, we have to determine, and I believe determine ahead of time, how we're going to react to things. How we're going to react. How are we going to react? He has to know that. And the way that we do that is we tell Him, I trust in You. I am not going to become overly anxious about these difficulties, and I'm looking to You for solutions and for help. And that's important that we do that, that He knows. But even more importantly than that, I think it's important that each of us determine how we're going to stand. You know, it does say we're supposed to stand in the gaps. If there's ever a time for truth to be held in high esteem and held firm, it's now. And if we don't do it, and I'm talking not just here, but I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm talking about those to whom all of the principles and laws and truths of God are given, if we don't hold them, who will? Who will? And then do we tell God that we will hold those, we will hold firm to the things that He's, and tell Him what we believe and have that kind of conversation with Him. I think that's just, you know, so incredibly important. And then we don't fret ourselves. This is probably the next several verses. This might be my Psalms sermon, my Psalm sermon, because I gained so much strength in reading the Psalms, realizing that David wrote them, and look at all the things that he went through. Look at all the things that he suffered and he went through. And yet he was still able to trust God and hang in the principles of God and look to God. Over here in Psalms 37, Psalms 37, I'll begin there. We read this, and I'm just going to read verses 1 through 11 here in a quick fashion, and then we'll move on to some other things and some other thoughts. Verse 1, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers." Now, I read these as, these are instructive to me. I read them for me. This is for me to gain strength from when I read these, for me to learn. "Fret not yourself because of evildoers." Boy, is that hard. Don't you get aggravated at all the stuff going on? Wow, absolutely. "Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." And then I go, yes, yes. Evildoers are going to have their end. Things are going to be, you know, as the old saying goes, you get to the book of the end of Revelation, and guess what? We win. God's going to win. But there's a lot now between now, where we are now, and the second coming of Christ, the return of Christ. There's a lot of things that have to take place. So how are we going to, you know, it says, "He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." We have to, you know, have strength to endure what's coming and the things that we're in now, and do it in a way that pleases God. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good." You know, I ask myself this. Do I trust God? Lord, do I trust you? How do I trust you? How much do I trust you? Well, I hope I'm gaining in that trust with God, because I'm quick to realize I surely can't save myself. We have to trust God because we can't save the world. We think we're in control, but you know what? We control nothing. You realize that? We don't control anything. And we have to look to Him for that. And so where is our trust? Trust in the Lord, do good, so shall you dwell on the land, and verily you shall be fed. I like that. I like that thought. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Eternal. Trust in also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. A lot of fret nots in there, aren't there? A lot of fret nots. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon... No, what? Evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I gain a lot of things from that. And one of the big things I gain is, all this stuff going on don't matter. Because in the end, God is going to win. In the end, that there will be an end to these things. There will be an end. So that gives me a lot of confidence. And I believe we have to have courage and confidence as His children. A familiar psalm that we all know, in fact we sing, is Psalms 23. Turn with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Actually, I won't get there yet. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." That's a lot of peace and comfort, and I like green rather than dry. That's good. "He restores my soul." I love that. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." In difficult times, we need our souls restored. We need His strength to be within us. Then verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Do we really believe that? "Though we walk in the shadow of death, we will not fear. And yet I look around and see nothing but fear everywhere. I see fear permeating. I see fear in people's eyes. I see people who are upset. They don't know what's going on. And there's a lot of fretting. But you know what? We're not to fear, because fear is our enemy. We know that. We've heard that before. Fear is our enemy. Are you fearful? What are you afraid of? This is what we should be afraid of over here in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Verse 28 of Matthew 10 tells us what we are to be afraid of and what we are not to be afraid of. And this is realistic. Fear is our enemy. By the way, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear. But verse 28 says, "Fear not them which can kill the body." We don't fear those that can physically take our life away. And yet people are afraid of that. People are afraid of that. we're not to fear. But fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. And that's the bottom line. Though somebody takes our life, I don't fear it. It's apparent that whether you're vaccinated or non-vaccinated, really, that's a personal choice. We don't have any comments, but on that, what people do. But I will say this. Apparently, it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. You can still get it. But I don't fear whether I get it. And if I die from it, that's my time. That's fine. But we're not to be fearful. And I do know this. I do believe those that have taken the vaccine, maybe the symptoms are less for those, the severity of it when they've had it. But we don't fear those that can kill the body. And I don't fear death. Some of you may have heard, and this would have been a hard day for me if I would have been in it, but a longtime elder up in Arkansas, Russellville, Arkansas, Gary Petty, was in a car accident, and it took him 45 minutes to get him out of there, and he didn't survive it, but he died on the way to the hospital, car accident. So, but guess what? We'll see him again. And so we don't fear those that can't take our spiritual life away. But rather, we should fear him, we should fear and respect God, which is able to destroy both soul and body. That's who we should really be concerned about. But we should not be fearful. Revelation 22, I find this always, keep your fingers here in Psalms 23, but Revelation 22, speaking of fear, Revelation 22, I'm sorry, chapter 21, verse 7. Encouragement here. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, if we endure to the end. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But notice verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, and then it goes on and talks about others. The fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, they don't have a place. But the first thing mentioned there, it talks about murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. First thing mentioned is the fearful. And yet we are not given a spirit of fear. That comes from our enemy. That is a tool of Satan, fear. Fear, division, accusing, all of those things, conquering and dividing. That is his tool. So we can't be fearful. Back to Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We are not going to do that. For you, why? Because for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Very interesting things in a time like this that we would be looking and want to look to God and trust in Him for all things. Psalms 11. Turn with me to Psalms 11. I'm going to read this, and then I have a comment about one other thing here in Psalms. But it says, in verse 1 of Psalms chapter 11, In the Lord I put my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? I would be fearful, fleeing. But in God we put our trust. For lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrows upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. That's so true. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have enemies. But in God we put our trust. Here's a great question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When you see all of this taking place, what do we do? What do we do? What are we supposed to do? Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold the eyelids. His eyelids try the children of men. And so it's a trial when those things take place. It's a trial that God allows. What do we do when the foundations are falling apart? We got to look to God. We got to trust him because we're not able to deliver ourselves. And, you know, do we believe that God will deliver? It's easy to say that, but do we believe it? Do we tell him we believe it? Do we know he'll deliver us? Well, that takes us to Daniel 3, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I believe, go with me to Daniel chapter 3. And we know well the story where they're accused. You know, they didn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's God, to that big statue. And, of course, they were told, you know, that if they didn't, there would be, you know. And so it was told Nebuchadnezzar that, yeah, they're not bowing down. And he was mad. He was mad at them. Let me see where to pick up. Verse 14, he's mad at him. He's mad at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in verse 14, he said, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast at the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is it that God shall deliver? And who is that God which shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, I haven't been put to any kind of a test like that yet. Have you? I haven't. I'm just saying. I'm wondering, and I ask myself, what would my response be? What would my response be? Two, maybe not this situation, but, you know, we trust God rather than men. You know, right now I see what's going on in our nation is there is an assault against our independence, against our Constitution, and against those things. But it quite hadn't gotten to where it's an attack and assault on Christians and obeying God. You know, we're not making those choices yet. But we may. Just saying. We may. Are we ready? Are we ready for that? So, verse 16, it's my thought that they premeditated ahead what they were going to say. I think that's what we need to be doing. We need to know. God needs to know, you know, what we'll do. He needs to know where we'll stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, they were like, hey man, there's no quick deliberation, you know, no long deliberation here. We already know. They already knew. And then verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. That was an answer to, you know, and who's going to deliver you out of what God is going to deliver you out of my hand? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. And they answered, our God will. Our God can. Our God can do it. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. So it didn't matter if they were going to die or not. Didn't matter. They had determined they were going to follow God and obey God. We may be facing times like this ahead. I think over the last year and a half, there's a lot of decisions and a lot of things going on here that I have to figure out. How am I going to respond? Right? Haven't we all done that in the last year and a half? Very important that we do that. Very important that we do that. And so Our only deliverance is going to be from God. And our trust must explicitly be in Him. And I believe we should tell Him that, that we trust in Him, that we're looking to Him, that we look to Him for deliverance. How many of you remember this songbook? I want to read the words of a song because I was reading this and it came to my mind. Psalms 23, of course, you know, there's the two songs. Carl would know this well, that we sang. But I wanted to read the words of page 50, which, and I love this song, wish we would sing it sometime. God is my rock, my salvation. Remember that song? Here are the words. Maybe I'll just read the first verse, since time is marching. God is my rock, my salvation, my hope. My soul in silence waits for Him, waits for my God alone. He is my fort, I shall not be removed. He is my refuge, my high tower of strength. Rescue shall come from my God alone, and I shall never be greatly removed. I love those words! That's from Psalm 62, taken from Psalm 62. And, you know, and there's the other verses. You know, you can borrow my book if you want to read the rest. Take a look at it. That is where it is. Our hope and our trust is in God. He is the rock of our salvation. That is where a deliverance is going to be. And we are His children, and He is our God. He is the... Here's a verse. Please turn with me to Psalm 17. I want you to know that for me there is no hope and no other deliverer but God. It's where I stand. He is my deliverer. That is where all that I believe, all that I hope for, all that I'm looking forward to, it will come to pass because He does it. And I'm looking to Him. And, you know, till the end of my days, that's where I am. In Psalms chapter 17, verse 7 says, show your marvelous loving kindness, O you that saves by your right hand them which put their trust in you. That's powerful words. Save by your right hand them which put their trust in you. From those that rise up against them. You know, and then there's this, you know, those 10,000 fall on my left and 10,000 fall on my right, I shall not be moved, because we know God will deliver us. Verse 8, love this verse. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Have you ever said that to God? I want to be an apple, you know, that apple in your eye, God. I want you to really love me. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Notice this and the rest of it. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. So, have you ever gotten a visual of that? How many of you have chickens? Well, I raise chickens, and I've lived with chickens all my life. Well, not of late. But have you ever seen baby chicks? Where do they go for protection? Under mama's wings. Under the shelter of mama's wings. You know, beep, 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 they peek out. And something bothers them, boom, they're underneath. They're right there for the protection. That is the visual that I get, the way God protects us. That's where our shelter is. We need to be like little chicks. Whew, right there, underneath where His protection is. Now, I have another visual of that. keep me under the shadow of your wings, and I see the wings of the cherubim covering the mercy seat. Also, I mean, I see that. I think that applies as well. We're under His cover and His mercy and His protection. It's where it is. I know I can't do anything to make anything different in this world. I can change me, but I can't change what's going on. All of this is in God's hands, and He is going to take care of it. And we're told not to fret ourselves because of evildoers. And that we, you know, another psalm, that Psalm 57 says, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge. So, hey, our trust is in God. We need to let him know that. We need to tell him that our trust is in him, that we're looking to him, that we love him. Psalms chapter 18, just turn a page. Well, you can stay right there. Beginning in verse 1, Psalms 18. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler and horn of my salvation and my high tower. Thank you, David, for being able to put all of those words together so that I can learn how to talk to God, you know, and convey that to him. Wow. But he is that for me. I know he is that for all of us. He's our deliverer, our strength. I put my trust in him. He's my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. God is so good, and he's so good to all of us. In 2 Samuel, so I'm going to, just a couple more verses here. 2 Samuel, turn with me to 2 Samuel, chapter 22. I don't know what's ahead for you and me, you know, honestly. I read prophecies and I read events, even what he said, you know, there in Matthew, the time of troubles are coming. I don't know exactly how all that's going to play out for you and for me. I don't know what individually, I don't know what circumstances we're going to face. I don't know what we'll be dealing with. But whatever it is that you and I deal with, make sure that we have conveyed to God that we trust him. Make sure that we look to him, because we recognize he is the only deliverance for us, the only deliverance. In Psalms 2 Samuel 22, sorry. Here is a psalm of praise from David. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I recommend that you do. Our praise that we offer here in the song service and our worship of God is, I love it. It's beautiful. But we can do more, I think, individually. David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Boy, and if you want to read some stories, read that. Read of the pursuit of Saul after David. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He recognized that it was God who had delivered him. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I pray that God will save me from violence. I pray that God will save me from illness. And I pray that God will protect me from pestilences. And I pray for the end of pestilence, by the way. I hope you do too, that pestilence would end. But whatever we face in the days ahead, recognize that it is God that is going to deliver us. And it's in him that we need to be leaning and trusting and scurrying like little chicks under his wings and for his protection and for his deliverance.